Hey, what is up, CW Fighters? Super stoked you're here again. So you're gonna notice there's gonna be a different kind of layout, I guess I could say, where Drew and I, we only have so many hours in a day. He and I both work separate shifts, day and night. So it's been difficult over the almost 2 years now, just correlating the best time to get the podcast up and going. So we're eventually going to start doing episodes by ourselves, being like the Lone Rangers of the Cryptid Warfare field. Yeah, that was pretty anticlimactic, huh? But I just want to throw that out there just so you guys are just aware, like that's kind of like the biggest change that's going to be going on, but there are going to be quite a bit of interesting episodes coming up. And also don't forget to go check out our merch to help support us, and you can also become a member for as little as $3 a month up to $7 a month. There will be a lot of perks with that as well. And two, being commercial-free episodes and also discounts on merch. Nice. Okay, and you'll also be on the loop and you'll be able to get earlier access to episodes. But just a quick update for our merchandise. I'm going to take down all of our alien stuff just because they're incredibly mnemonic. I kind of knew this after I posted them, but I just wanted to give you guys a heads up so when you're on the merch site and you happen to be looking for alien stuff, yeah, that's a no-go for us. And you'll know why. In about 2 to 3 weeks, we chat with somebody and just her experiences with alien entities and stuff like that. It'll really open up your mind as to just how evil these creatures can be. So yeah, there's that. But anywho, going on for almost 2 minutes and I'm gonna shut my fat pie hole. So let's get on with the show. Boom.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Zook.
Hey, guys, I'm Drewski.
Hey, don't touch that. Don't touch that!
Welcome to Cryptid Warfare!
And if you have a story or encounter, shoot us an email or a detailed voice message to cryptidwarfare@gmail.com. That's CRYPTIDWARFARE@gmail.com. What's everybody? Well, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Cryptid Warfare. I'm your host, Z Baby. And man, I thought about doing so many funny things to introduce Drewski, but since he's not here, but I'm not. I don't want to embarrass him. Plus, he might punch me in the face at church tomorrow. So, anyway, yeah. Once again, we have Josh Monday, the myth, the legend, the biceps, triceps, all that. And yeah, he's going to share some awesome news today about some biblical cosmetology, and this is going to be exciting. And it's going to get into some other deeper things as well. Without further ado, show is yours.
How you guys doing? Josh Monday from Josh Monday Christian and Conspiracy Podcast. I've been doing. Sorry, my dog is going weird right now. Come here. So sorry about that. Anyway, so I wanted to kind of take a microscope and kind of put it a little further on the biblical cosmology. We did a show last time. That was when I first got on you guys' show, and we talked about biblical cosmology. So I just want to, you know, I've done more studies on it. And also I would like to go into like what's in the earth, you know, like what's in the earth. People need to understand that too. That's part of the biblical cosmology, you know? So yeah, if we want to start, we can start. First off, I'd like to ask you, Zook. So like, since we did that last show, which is probably like, that was like a year ago or something.
Yeah.
Have you done any studies into biblical cosmology? Have you learned anything new? What's your thoughts on it? Do you feel like any certain type of way about it? Do you feel like it is the truth, or how do you feel?
Honestly, like ever since I did that podcast with you, I mean, it literally took me months to wrap my brain around it because I was just so programmed to think that we live on a big blue marble. And then months and months later, then it kind of made me think about space. And I'm like, what is space? Like, is space actual, like, and the moon and all these planets and stuff? Because then I love art. So I'm like, I wonder if like all these galaxies and these planets are something that somebody has drawn, like they made up in their head. They put it in a computer. And I don't know. So at this point, I don't even know if space is like 100% real, like all of it real.
Yeah. Okay.
But well, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's a good way of thinking of it. I've just noticed in the Bible, like when it talks about like spiritual wickedness and heavenly places, like in high places, you know. So where space technically would kind of be, would be like, let me show you real quick. Let me click on this. I'm going to share screen, guys. And hopefully everybody that's watching can see this, share this. So this is ancient Hebrew conception of the universe or cosmology. This is like biblical cosmology here. So we have the earth, right? We have foundations of the heavens, which would be Antarctica. And we have the seas. And then underneath, we have the fountains of the great deep, right? And then we have Sheol, which is in the earth. And I'm going to kind of go over all this stuff biblically and show you guys. I kind of went over everything like as far as like the firmament. I kind of went over like biblical cosmology with your audience before. But when they talk about, you know, them, you know, like spiritual wickedness being in high places in spirit in Ephesians 6:12, it's talking about them being where the moon, sun, and the stars are located. If you notice when Daniel was doing his prayer, it was an angel that he prayed to. He had like a 21-day fast, and the angel went up to heaven to deliver the prayer. And he said when he was on his way back, he had to fight against the prince of Persia, and he had to call Michael the archangel. So this is all happening where the moon, sun, and the stars are located, see? And he said he had to call Michael the archangel to come and help him, and that way he can get to Daniel. So that's 21 days. It took him 3 weeks for that to happen. So there's a lot of stuff happening where the moon, sun, and the stars are located that people don't understand. See, there's three heavens we got to understand when we're understanding biblical cosmology. The first heaven would be where the moon, sun, and the stars are located. The second heaven would be the firmament. That'd be Genesis 1:8. And the third heaven would be where God's throne is located, which is above the firmament, above the waters that be above the firmament, right? So I think people need to understand this. And it's kind of crazy because when I tell people about, you know, that biology is incorrect, when I go against evolution, you know, people are okay with it. No problem with that. When I tell them that, you know, about the Big Bang, people don't have any problem with that either. Psychology, sometimes you could say like a demon is affecting people and it's not so much them being psychologically imbalanced. And people have no problem with that. But when I go to, you know, biblical cosmology or cosmology, according to the Bible, then people, you know, they flip out, they yell, they scream, they argue. So I think it's interesting, man. It's almost like there's a demon behind the globe and the heliocentric model. Now, what we need to understand about heliocentric model, which is what it's called, the solar system, Helios is actually a Greek sun god, okay? And he's supposed to be the most powerful Greek sun god, right? One of the most powerful ones. And so Helios is literally a sun god. Sometimes they call them a Titan. A Titan is basically like a stolen word from the Bible, which I believe would be the Nephilim. So literally, if he was a Titan, he is like a Nephilim spirit. So when you're saying heliocentricity or heliocentric, you're literally saying a sun god-centered solar system, right? That's why they say solar system. It's sun-centered. It's all sun worship, you know? So you guys got to understand that, you know, as Christians, we need to understand that every time you say heliocentricity or heliocentric, you're paying homage to a pagan sun god, which is an enemy to our God, right? And usually with these gods, as a lot of your guests have probably gone over, because I know you've had Derek Gilbert and you've had all these different awesome guests on your show. Usually they say that these Nimrods, these Apollos, you know, all these different gods are usually not Nimrod so much, I'm sorry, but like, you know, Apollo, Zeus, or, you know, Saturn and all these different gods that they've had are usually represented by like a fallen angel or by Lucifer, you know? So we got to understand that. So I think that's kind of gets interesting. What I would also like to go over real quick, I won't share the screen yet. I'll take that off real quick so you guys can kind of see me here. All right. Let me see. Go back to here. Perfect. Okay, so a couple of verses I like to go over. I kind of already went over this before, but I still like to go over it. You know, like faith cometh by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God, okay? Got to understand that, right? Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, all right? So we got to understand that. It's impossible to please God without faith. So the devil's going to attack faith. How is faith built? By hearing the word of God. So if you're hearing the word of God and you're not believing it, then what kind of faith is being produced, right? So if we start reading these Bible verses to you, like that I went over last time, or these ones I'm going to go over now, where I'm just kind of digging deep, showing you exactly what the words mean if you don't believe it, then what kind of faith is being produced? You know, we're trying to make people's faith stronger here, especially you guys as well. You know, I know you guys are Christian podcasts. We're the same way. We're trying to build your faith stronger. So got to understand that. Now, how reliable is the book of Genesis, right? That's something I like to go over, because not only does this part I'm going to go over make it so reliable, but also Jesus himself talks about it. Okay. He says, "For if you believe," this is in John 5:46, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" This is John 5:46. So he kind of validates it. And then also God is validating Moses in Numbers 12:4-8. It says, and the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and unto Miriam and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And three came out, and the Lord came on in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." We'll stop there real quick. So other prophets, he comes to them in visions and he comes to them in dreams. So that validates Isaiah. It validates Ezekiel. It validates all the prophets that he comes to them in visions and he comes to them in dreams. So anytime I'm going to talk about a vision, which I'll talk about in Ezekiel 126, Ezekiel 10:1, or Daniel 4:1, these are visions from who? From God. Okay, we got to understand that. Anytime I'm talking about Moses or like anything in any of those writings, we need to understand this. So he says he comes to them in prophets and dreams, but my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in mine house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in the dark speeches, or a similitude of the Lord shall he behold. So he speaks to Moses mouth to mouth. And in the New King James, it actually says face to face. So we got to understand that. So on Mount Sinai, when he received this information of Genesis and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all this stuff, you know, when it comes to Genesis, Moses was not alive. So he has to be a firsthand account from the Most High, from God, to Moses for him to write this stuff. He's not going to just write it. He's not going to just make it up. You know, all this stuff is like, it's so detailed accounts of, you know, the creation to Adam, to Eve, to Genesis 3:15, to all these different, you know, to Abraham, to Joseph, to Isaac, to all these different things are happening. All that stuff is so detailed. It's not like Moses just wrote it all down out of the blue. God had to have told him this. It has to come from him. And he spoke to him face to face. So how much can we trust, you know, the book of Genesis if we know it came from God himself, right? Got to understand that. So now the only false prophet Bible that I found that has anything about the sun staying still and the earth going around it is actually out of Joseph Smith's The Book of Mormon. That's the only one, man. And you know, that's the only one that talks about it. So it says this, it's Helaman 12:15. Helaman too. That's kind of interesting. It's called Helaman because if you believe this stuff, where are you going? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Okay, okay. If you believe Joseph Smith stuff, you might be going to hell. But okay, listen, here we go. Anyways, all right. So we got.
Oh, we still love you.
It says, Helaman 12:15. According to his word, the earth goeth back, and it appeareth unto man that the sun standeth still. Yeah, behold, this is so. For surely it is the earth that moveth and not the sun. So that's what it says, right? So that's the only Bible verse you will ever find anywhere that talks about that happening, okay? So understand that. So if someone teaches you a different salvation, like that book will teach you, it's demonic. What we need to understand is if someone teaches you a different creation, it is also demonic. You know what I mean? That's something we need to understand as Christians. So if somebody is telling you something that's not true with the creation, like Big Bang, like evolution, like billions upon billions of years, like the stars coming first, the sun coming first, then the earth, like they try to tell you with the Big Bang theory, what does it entail? It is demonic, right? It's going against the Bible. It is inverted from what the Bible says. We need to understand that, okay? I like to go over this stuff before we, you know, kind of get into stuff because, you know, people need to understand, you know, man's cosmology is the Big Bang, evolution, and all that. Naturalism is what it's called. Scientism and naturalism, right? And it's pseudoscience. It's stuff that's theoretical, and it doesn't. It's not fact, you know. Even though they try to teach you in class that it's fact, it's theoretical. It's not fact. So, I kind of wanted to show you guys. We went over Genesis when I first did that show with you guys, but I want to show you guys a different version that I didn't get to read to you guys last time. It's actually the CJB, which is the Complete Jewish Bible. They want to keep the Hebrew. It's like they're really dedicated to the Hebrew. It's not even called Genesis, it's called Bereshit, which means beginning, in the beginning. So this is how they describe the firmament in the CJB, the Complete Jewish Bible. So this is Genesis 1:6. God said, let there be a dome in the middle of the water. Let it divide the water from the water. God made the dome and divided the water. Oh, yeah, let me share the screen. I forgot. Let's share the screen so you guys can see what I'm talking about here, okay? Here is what I'm talking about. Hopefully, you guys can see this. So we're talking about the firmament here, okay? And separating the waters from the waters. This is right after day one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? So after day one, basically in day one, this is what I think happened. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. For me, the heavens, one of the heavens is where the moon, sun, the stars are located. The other heaven would be where God's throne is located. And day one, I think he did that. And also he says that the earth was, it says that he created the heavens and the earth. Earth does not mean, it doesn't always mean like earth. Like if I showed you a picture of the globe, that's not what it always means. Earth can also mean land. So I believe on day one, God created the heavens where the moon, sun, and the stars are located. Also where God's throne is located. He doesn't have the firmament yet because it happened on day two. But I believe he created the land, which is the foundations of the earth. If you go to Isaiah 40:22, God says, in the beginning, I laid the foundations of the earth. All right. So I'm going to go back to the beginning and find out what does he mean. So he says he created the heavens and the earth, the Shemaim, which is the heavens and the earth. Right. So I think he created the foundations of the earth, Sheol, everything. So basically, you just have water. You don't have the firmament yet. You don't have the continents yet, right? That wasn't until day three. But on day two, the way that they put this is let there be a dome in the middle of the water. Let it divide the water from the water. God made the dome and divided the water under the dome from the water above the dome. Now, in here, they call the dome sky. In the King James Version, they call the dome heaven. So there's three heavens according to Colossians 2:12. One of the heavens would be, like I said, moon, sun, and stars. Second one would be the dome or the firmament, third heaven where God's throne is located, okay? So we need to understand that. I just wanted to show you guys a different version and kind of put a microscope on this and find out, wow, okay, they're actually saying it's a dome here instead of saying that it's just a firmament, right? Which, you know, when you understand the word firmament, you got to understand we already know that it's firm anyways. But any questions about that at all, brother Zeke?
Oh, no, man.
Okay, so we have that. So we have that. Okay, so all right. So we kind of last time we went over the days, you know, day one, God created the heavens, the earth, he created light, darkness, right? We have all that. The second day is the firmament. Day three, God created the oceans, which is down here, right? And he created the dry land, which is now the continents. Okay. So we have that. Plants, vegetation. Now it wasn't until day four. He created the moon, sun, and the stars also. Okay, we need to understand that. Nothing mentioned of planets. In the Bible, planets are called wandering stars. Okay, they're mentioned in the book of Jude, wandering stars. And what it actually says is that they're going to be judged. Okay, which I think is interesting because all the other stars are making a circle around the North Star. But the wandering stars are moving in a different way, right? They're going against what the other stars are doing. So if we notice everything that's happening with, you know, back in the day, Rome, they were worshiping Saturn, they were worshiping Jupiter, they're worshiping Mars, they're worshiping these planets. Now, also, if you look at all the missions from NASA, most of them are named after Greek gods or after planets, and they actually have their planetary name in Greek sometimes, and they also have it in their actual name, Mars or whatever, you know, the Apollo, and they have the actual name. Sometimes they actually have the Greek name. So you're going to see that, you know, the worship of the heavens, you know. So just wanted to go over that for you guys. Now there was some fixed verses that I went over for you guys last time. Just wanted to show you a new one that I came across. And I actually got it from your guys' Instagram. So it was Zechariah, 1 Zechariah 1:11. Your host actually sent it to me. And I was like, perfect, dude. So it says, Zechariah 1:11, it says, "And they answered the angel of the Lord. They stood among the myrtle trees and said, 'We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest.'" Okay. The other verses we went over last time was like 1 Chronicles, "Tremble before him, all the earth, the world is also firmly established. It shall not be moved." Psalms 93:1, "The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed, and he has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established, so it cannot be moved." If you notice this cosmology here, the earth is still, and everything is moving in the heavens, okay, in the sky. Nothing on the earth. This is firm, immovable, still, okay, with foundations. That's what was happening, okay? Psalms 104:5, "You laid the foundations of the earth," which is talking about down here, foundations, "so that it should not be moved forever," okay, which is interesting. Psalms 104:5, yeah, I kind of went over that. So I just want to go over that with you guys, and then also kind of tell you guys that there's some fixed and immovable is what the Bible says. There was actually some science experiments that tried to prove the orbit of the earth, and I'm just going to go over these real quick. In 1871, George Eries attempted to prove the movement of the earth, ended up being known as Eries' failure, so they failed on that attempt. 1881, Albert Michelson experiment failed to show any movement of the earth. 1887, Michelson-Morley experiment again failed to show any movement of the earth, despite rigorous efforts with very precise instruments. 1903, Troughton and Noble experiments failed. 1904, Rayleigh and Brace experiment failed. 1913, George Sagnac again attempted without success to demonstrate the movement of the earth through space. So we have those, and there's actually more, but when I get to that slide that I have in here, I'll let you guys know. But so I just want to show you guys that science is trying to prove things, and they're not able to prove the movement of the earth either, even though everybody thinks it's just fact, right? So we got to understand that, you know, it's kind of it's just interesting how everything is kind of lining up to the Bible being true and everybody else being liars. So we also have more. And, you know, I don't know if I want to go over all these, but basically from 1913 from George Sagnac all the way up to 2020, they still haven't proved that the earth is moving, orbiting, or rotating, okay? So we're just taking this by blind faith from these organizations, right? The reason why I don't want to go over these other ones, because I don't know, I didn't get to study those other ones, you know, and I don't want to like name them off if I don't know what the problem was with it, right? So we have that. So I just want to go over that stuff with you guys real quick and tell you guys that they haven't proven it scientifically yet. So if you're kind of stuck in this heliocentric model and you're just like, you know, you're feeling like, hey, well, they've already proved it through science. What is this guy talking about? I just want you guys to look into all those experiments and find out that it's, you know, that it's not necessarily true, right? So we have that. And we went over some other verses that I'd like to kind of get into, because I didn't really have all the information that I had. So last time, you know, I just want to, so that you guys know a little deeper. So like, for example, Isaiah 40:22, okay? That's Isaiah 40:21-22. This is one that everybody goes through that they try to say that is talking about a circle of the earth is the globe, right? That's just not true. It's definitely not true, because Baal, they actually have Baal in Isaiah 22:18, talks about violently, surely tossy like a ball. But there's more interesting things to this verse. Last time I kind of emphasized on that part, but listen to what it says. It says, oh man, it went all the way to the top. I'm sorry, hold on. My notes shot all the way to the top. Sorry, guys. All right. So, Zeke, real quick, any questions on anything I went over so far as I'm going down this page?
No. I think you're doing great.
Okay. So,
and I'm easy to please.
All right. What's up?
Yeah, I'm easy to please.
Okay, cool. Hey, no problem. I'm just hope that your audience is kind of grasping what I'm talking about. So Isaiah 40:22. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth, which I kind of went over with you guys in the beginning? I think God laid the foundations. It is He, the Most High, who sit upon the circle of the earth. Now listen, guys, the circle of the earth, if you look down from this firmament right here, if you look down, if you're in God's throne, you would see a circle of the earth, right? Which Antarctica is actually in the around the circle. And I just want to say it's He who sitteth upon the circle of the earth. How was God sitting upon the circle of the earth? Well, this is a firmament, and then God's throne is up here, so He's sitting upon the circle of the earth. What happens with the heliocentric model is they try to say that God's firmament is outside of all the galaxies and everything, and that's where his throne is located, outside of all the galaxies. That's what the heliocentric model tries to say. All right, and it also says that, and His inhabitants are like grasshoppers, which is us, like us walking the earth. We're like grasshoppers. He's seeing us like grasshoppers. And it says, and He's talking about God, it says, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. So the tent is called the tabernacle or tent. The tent would be the firmament. That's the way that they were shaped back then. And then the curtains of heaven would be the heavens. All right. So it just gets really interesting when you dig deep, right? And circle is Coug, right? Circle, circuit, or compass. That's what it means. It doesn't mean anything about a ball. It also says vault of heavens is one of the words that could be used for that as well. Okay. That's why Isaiah 66:1 makes so much sense. It says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, which is up here, and the earth is my footstool, where is the house that you will build for me, and where is my place of my rest? So the reason why the earth is His footstool is because we have the firmament and we have God's throne. So He's actually standing on, if the foundations of the earth are holding up the firmament, then you could see that He's actually sitting on the circle of the earth, right? So that's why He says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Do you guys get what I mean right there?
Yeah.
Or do you, I'm sorry, do you get what I mean? You don't have your host with you. So it's also talked about in Matthew 5:34, the same thing. He says, but I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is His footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. So it's also talked about there. So I just want to tell you guys that. So it makes total sense when you start looking into the Hebrew, looking the meanings, finding out what everything means. I think people just need to understand that. It gets really, really, when you look a little deeper, right? So also that word rakia, which is firmament, right? Or dome, used in the CJB. You guys got to understand, it's H7549 rakia in the Strong's Concordance. And what it means is an extended surface, and then it says solid, and then it says expanse or firmament. And then if you go below, it says A, expanse, flat as base support. Support for what? Well, it's supporting the waters above. The next thing would say firmament, a vault of heaven supporting waters above. Below that, it says, considered by Hebrews as solid and supporting waters above. That's what it's doing in Genesis 1:8 and 6. It's talking about how He separates the water from the water. So there's still water above the firmament. We need to understand that. How high up is the firmament? I have no idea. I wouldn't be able to tell you that. How far away is the sun? The Bible doesn't tell us. It actually says that the heavens cannot be measured, but I believe they're talking about these heavens and not these. But yeah, so I just think that we need to understand that.
Step into the unknown with our exclusive collection of cryptid warfare apparel, from epic tees, stellar hoodies, drinkware, hats, and more. Picture this: you're decked out in our hoodie, hat, and taking notes in our exclusive field journal, ready to expose the truths hidden in plain sight. So whether you're battling unseen forces, chasing mythical creatures, or connecting the dots in the grand conspiracy, we've got the gear to amplify your style. Gear up, gear in, and get ready to embark on the journey of a lifetime. Because the truth is out there, and you need the right tools to equip yourself with. If you're looking for one-of-a-kind art that is sure to make you stand out from the crowd, then look no further than Drew's Tags. Drewski has created a world of custom art that will take you on a wild ride through sports, space, travel, military, cryptids, and beyond. Whether you're a fan of Bigfoot, a reptilian, conspiracy theorist, or just someone who appreciates a good pun, Drewski has something for everyone. So why settle for a boring old print when you can have a custom creation that is as unique as you are? Reach out to Drewski today and get started on your one-of-a-kind masterpiece. Check out his Instagram link in the show notes.
There's just some really interesting stuff in the Bible, man, when we go through it. So we're at Rakia, so we kind of went over that. And then the root word for Rakia is Raka, which means to spread out or beat out, right? So God formed the firmament. And if anybody denies that there is a firmament, we got to understand that Psalms 19:1 says the heavens are the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork, right? So we need to understand that if you're denying the firmament, you're actually denying God's handiwork. And if you look up what that word handiwork means, it actually means God's achievement. So the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. We need to understand that that is like a statement of something that God created. Now that is why Satan hates it so much, because it's one of God's achievements, you know, and Satan doesn't want anybody to think about a firmament or any of that. He wants to think about, you know, a water ball floating in space and just a whole different way of thinking, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and that verse I just mentioned, what is on Wernher von Braun's tombstone, the NASA engineering program manager, architect of Apollo, Saturn V. You see Saturn, you know, in Germany, they had the Brotherhood of Saturnalia, which is a secret society. People need to understand that. Okay. So we have that. And also I kind of wanted to go over that Psalms 19:1 verse 1-6 we went over last time and kind of break some things down. So it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Tabernacle, if you look up that word, it actually means tent. Okay? So the tent is the firmament. Okay, that's what that means, the tent, because the sun has a tabernacle. It doesn't really make sense until you look up the word tabernacle, and it means tent, which is over the earth, okay? Which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber to rejoice as a strong man to run a race. His going forth, speaking of the sun, going forth, not going down, but going forth, is from the end of heaven. So this is one of the heavens, right? So the sun moves in a circuit, which is a circle, and the heavens, okay? The sun is what's moving. The earth is not. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So we need to understand, and going forth is the way that they're describing the sun moving, and it's moving in a circle and not, you know, not us moving, you know? So, and it's the same thing when you look up Ecclesiastes 1:5. It says that the sun ariseth. If you click on that button in the Strong's Concordance, sun ariseth actually means coming forth. And then if you say going down, it means to go away from, right? To going forth. So like going away. So we need to understand that. I think that's more in depth than I got last time. And some other stuff that I kind of looked into was Ezekiel 1:26, I think we went over last time, where God's throne is actually located above the firmament, right? So Ezekiel would have to be up here, and he's able to look through the firmament, and he sees God's throne. Ezekiel 1:26, it's talking about how, and above the firmament was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above it. So there's talking about seeing God's throne through the firmament, and that is actually a vision. And as I talked about in Numbers 12, verses 4-8, a vision is only sent from God, right? It's not sent from anywhere else but God. So that vision is showing where God's location is, you know? So I just think people need to understand that. Gets interesting. There's also another verse that I went over for you guys called Amos 9:6. The one who builds his upper chambers in the heavens and has founded his vaulted dome over the earth, He who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth, the Lord is his name. So the one who builds his chambers in the heavens would be up here, right, in the heavens. This is where God's throne would be located. So that's where his upper chambers is located. And this is Amos 9:6 NASB. It says, he has founded his vaulted dome over the earth. If you look up that word vaulted dome, it's band or binding, right? Band of men, troops, or vault, firmament, right? Binding heaven to the, or binding earth to the heavens. So it's talking about, it binds earth to the heaven. So that what binds earth to heaven, it would be a vaulted dome. So we need to understand that, you know, that's a little more in depth than I went last time. I just like to show you guys that. Also, some more verses like I came across before we get into the hell stuff. The earth shakes and the heaven shakes. So Joel 2:10, the earth shall shake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark and the stars shall withdraw from their shining. So the earth is connected to the heavens by a firmament. So if the earth shakes here, it talks about the heaven is trembling. So that makes sense in this model, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you guys want to go back to the episode, I don't know what number it was when I did it. You guys can understand as I go verse by verse by verse. And then you guys can look at this diagram and you guys can see what I'm talking about. Everything I spoke about in that last show was all about Hebrew cosmology. And this is where Sheol is located in Hebrew cosmology. It's in the earth. Okay, we need to understand that. So I think I'll go back to here. Did I stop screen sharing now? Now we're back to normal? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I just want to make sure. So this is the first time using this program. So any questions on any of the biblical cosmology stuff, bro?
No, I still have like so many questions just about like space, the stars, because I have heard that like some of the like the stars could potentially be types of angels, but I haven't looked too much into that. And then the camera you talked about how we can zoom so far out and you can actually see that the earth is flat, and it's all based on your perspective. Like if you want to look farther, you got to get up higher.
Yeah. There it is. And there's a lot of stuff that you could get into as far as on the earth when you're looking long distance photography. There's a thing called the black swan where someone was on the beach and they were able to zoom into an oil rig. One of them was 9.7.
Oh, that's the one I saw.
Miles away. And then there was one that was like 6.5 miles away, and you're able to see both. And then the horizon was behind that, right? So that's kind of crazy, man. So there's a lot of stuff. And you know, what happens is conveniently the globe would say, well, there's refraction and it brings everything up perfectly. You know, just like Joshua Nowicki took a picture from 60 miles away and they were able to see the Michigan skyline from 60 miles away, which should be impossible. So, but conveniently refraction brings it perfectly where it needs to be, like to make it look flat. I mean, does that make sense? It's like, dang, dude, pretty convenient for them. But anyways, but the scientific side, I don't know. I get a little into that, but mostly I try to stick with the Bible because I think that's our only truth that we have and most reliable. So what my point with biblical cosmology and about Moses is, if Moses' cosmology was flat with non-rotating earth, with a flat plane, with a firmament, and then God's throne above the firmament, and Ezekiel's is like that, Isaiah is like that, Jesus is like that too, because when Jesus came back, you never hear Jesus tell the Hebrews like, hey, you got everything, you got all this stuff wrong and the cosmology wrong. He never said that. And Jesus was there. If you look at 1 Colossians 15, it says that everything was created by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus, right? He created the principalities. You know, he created the heavens and the earth. Father God used the word to create everything, right? So Jesus was there. So he would probably come back and tell the Hebrews, hey, you're wrong about, he corrected them about everything, right? You're not doing this right. You're not doing that right. Your cosmology is also wrong. No, he didn't do that. So you don't hear him saying that. So I think people need to understand that. So as far as biblical cosmology, if you guys want to go back to that episode or you want to check my show out or whatever you want to do, I got debates. I got a bunch of stuff on that. So I think you guys, you know, as your audience can come and listen to that or listen to their show again. And then you could see what I was talking about there. And I went a little more in depth. But when you go back to the Hebrew, it makes sense. Now, here's another thing that's kind of crazy is pastors, they go back to the Strong's Concordance. And that's how they do their message, and people have no problem with it. when I'm debating or talking to people about biblical cosmology and I go back to the Strong's Concordance, then they're like, oh, why are you going back to that? And why are you trying to, it's like, it bothers them because you could see that exact thing I showed, which is from, that's from Logos Bible Software, the one that I showed. Mm-hmm. They're not flat earthers there, but they're saying if you're honest with the text, that is what you see. Like the flood, for example, the windows of heaven were open, right? It talks about the fountains of the great deep being broken, which I showed you on that thing. It talks about, so that what would happen is Noah's ark would be lifted up from the fountains of the great deep. The water would come up. So his ark would move up, right? And then it's going to fill up the enclosure. Also, the windows of heaven were open. There's windows in the firmament. The water comes down and fills up. And then also then it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. So he's already going to be safe, bro, because the waters of the fade at the great deep were broken. So the water came from below first. So it puts Noah's ark up already. Water comes in through the windows of heaven, and then it rains for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, what also happens is those windows of heaven were closed. It says stopped, but if you look up the word, it means closed in the Hebrew. So they closed, the fountains of the great deep were closed, and it stopped raining. So there's three separate events on the flood that happen, and it makes sense on a flat earth so much, dude. The whole enclosure is filled. Go to Enoch 89. What it says in the book of Enoch 89 is it says that it filled the enclosure. So when you go to that, back to that thing I was showing you, going back to that model, the Hebrew cosmology model, you'll see that it's like an enclosure. The water would just have to fill up 15 cubits above the highest mountain is what the Bible says. And no problem with the flood. But if you put it on the water ball spinning and all that stuff happening, there's no windows of heaven there. It would have to be all metaphorical. And what happens is I debate people, and these guys try to tell me, well, it wasn't a worldwide flood. It was a local flood. I'm like, a local flood? What? So we have to, you know, then we start debating on that. So people need to understand that it all makes sense. You don't have to like make up stuff, or you don't have to do mental gymnastics when it comes to a flat earth with a dome and all that stuff. When it comes to certain things, the Tower of Babel is another one. You don't have to do any mental gymnastics. You just kind of read the Bible for what it is, word for word, and you believe it like you're supposed to. That's what creates faith, right? So sorry, Zook. I think I'm probably unloading a lot, but I think it's healthy for your audience to know.
Bring it, brother. Yeah.
So we have that. All right. And let's go location of hell. Okay. Where's the location of hell? Like, where's it located? I ask people and they'll tell me, oh, it's in another dimension. It's in a black hole. It's below. It's in space. It's all these different places. Well, the Bible speaks about it being in the earth. We need to understand that, right? So that's part of biblical cosmology. The deepest hole ever dug was like around, you know, 7.9 or 8 miles deep. That's the deepest hole ever dug. It was the Kola Peninsula in Russia. It was drilled for research purposes in like 1970, and they were wrong every time they went down. Like every mile, they were wrong. They kept saying, well, we're going to run into this. We're going to run into this. They were wrong every single time. So it seems like their instruments weren't working as good as they say they are, right? So just to let you guys know, so only 8 miles, which is still far, but that's the furthest they've ever gone. But when you go to the Bible, like Job 1:6, this is the devil. The devil says in the earth. It says, now in was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them, right? So Satan is actually in heaven, or probably in the court of heaven, probably not like where God's throne is located, but in the court of heaven, I would say. It says Satan was among them, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? So he's talking about going to and fro in the earth. So in the earth is different than walking on the earth, right? So I just think it's pretty interesting if you look into that verse. And obviously there's something in the earth that he's talking about. Now he's in front of God, right? So God would probably say, you're not walking in the earth, you're walking on the earth. Don't lie to me, right? But he doesn't correct him right there. So we need to understand that that gets really interesting. And then also Ephesians 4:8. It says that Jesus descended into the earth, and also he ascended to heaven. So it says Ephesians 4:8 says, whereof he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts upon men. Now he ascended, but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens that he might fill up all things. And he gave some apostles, some pastors, some prophets, some evangelists. So we won't go over all that. The important part for this message is he ascended or descended into the lower parts of the earth. What is it? What does that mean? What does that mean? You know, like, does that mean he's going into the magma that they try to tell us on this core earth? Or is he going into the lower parts of the earth? If you look at the screen share that I had, you see that there's Sheol is in the earth. That's what he's talking about. Because in the book of Luke, there's a story of Lazarus, the rich man and Lazarus. So Jesus is talking and saying that he's talking about, I think I have it right here. I know I put it in my notes. I could go off the top of my head though, if you want, but it's in Luke. I just want to give you guys the proper verse. Story of Lazarus, Luke 16. Okay. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus full of sores, and he was laid at his gate desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. So it was the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, which is in the earth, guys. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip a tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides this, between us, there is a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to there cannot. And nor can those come from to pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, for you that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers that may testify to them, lest they come to his place of torment. Abraham said to them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded by one arise from the dead. So this is Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. So we have Abraham's bosom. I don't know if you ever heard about this, Zook, but Abraham's bosom is on one side, you have like paradise or Abraham's bosom. On the other side, you have Sheol or Hades, which is hell. And in between, you have a great gulf. So you see that the rich man has all five senses. He's looking for water, taste, smell, touch, speak, can see. So we need to understand when you're in hell or Sheol, you're going to be able to have all five senses. I think that should scare you like a lot. And knowing that you're going to be able to feel the flame on your feet. It talks about right here in Luke 16. And this is Jesus speaking too, right? So also we need to understand that. So you have all five senses in hell. And this is talking about being in the earth. This is considered by all the Hebrews being inside the earth. This is not considered to be in some other dimension because there's no Hebrew word for dimension. So there's no word for that. So this is considered to be in the earth. So we need to understand that, you know? And so Jesus descended into the earth, the lower parts of the earth. Abraham's bosom was in the earth. Okay, we have that. Also, the way that people refer to the underworld, right, and the earth, we have, so we went to Ephesians 8. Psalms 9, verses 6 through 7, it says, the Lord is known by his acts of justice and wickedness are ensnared by the work of their hands. The wicked go down to the realm of the dead, all the nations that forget God. So they're going down, right? So they're on earth saying this. So they're going down, which is in the earth, right? So we got to understand that. First Peter 3 verses 18 through 20. For Christ also suffered once for sins, just for the unjust, he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom he went and preached to the spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient when once divine long-suffering waited the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is eight souls, that were saved through water. So it talks about Jesus going down and preaching to the spirits in prison. So who is he talking to there? I think that we could, you know, that's in the earth. Some people derive that he went to preach to the fallen angels that are locked in the abyss, which is in the earth. Some people believe that he went down and spoke to the people that were in Abraham's bosom or the people that were in Hades. We don't know. But it's interesting verse, though. But it's talking about him going down to preach to the spirits in earth, right? We have that. Proverbs 15, 24 says, the path of life leads upward for the prudent, which means going up, and to keep them from going down to the realm of the dead. So the realm of the dead is down for the Hebrews. Down mean in the earth, right? That's the only place down could be. So we have that. Revelation 5, verses 2 through 3. And they say, strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, which is the heavens of heavens, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither the look thereon. Under the earth. So what is he talking about? What's under the earth? Sheol. Okay, so he's covering all bases. The reason why there's three tiers, right? Sheol, the earth, and then the heavens. So I think that's really interesting, man, that the words that they use, and this is even in the New Testament, right? Revelation 5, verses 12 through 13, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, okay, and such as are in the sea. Okay, so he's covering all bases there too, talking about everything that's in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. He's giving us clues, guys, okay? He's not talking about magma. He's not talking about just dirt. There's something in the earth, and that would be Sheol, and that would be where you go. When you die, the angels come and get you and either take you through the firmament, you know, up to heaven where God's throne is located, or they take you in the earth where Sheol is located, which should scare you, you know. So just let you guys know. And what else do we have? So, and then why do you think they call it the underworld? It's called the underworld for a reason, right? Because it's the underworld. Now, some people think that demons are in Sheol, and fallen angels are in Sheol, and they're locked in Sheol, and they can't get out. But that can't be the case. That can't be the case because when Jesus is walking the earth, he's casting out demons, right? So he's casting out demons. Also, if you go to the book of Enoch, which I don't know if it's like canon. I don't know if it's supposed to be canon, but they're talking about the Nephilim that died. The spirits of the Nephilim are the demons, right? And they're actually their punishment is to be walking the earth, you know, until the end times, right? Their punishment is to be walking the earth. You know, they're not allowed to, you know, the Nephilim that died, their spirits don't get to go to heaven. They can't, they're unsavable. So they're earthborn. That's what that word Nephilim means. So we need to understand that. So they're walking the earth. Now there is fallen angels that are locked in the abyss. The ones that sinned on Genesis 6, those are there. And those are in the earth. What's a bottomless pit in a globe? What's a bottomless pit? How do you have a bottomless pit in the globe? We'll find out here. Bottomless pit, Revelation 9:1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven unto the earth, which is interesting too. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. So it came out of a bottomless pit that was in the earth. Okay. Does that make sense on a globe? You know, we got to understand that a bottomless pit don't make sense on a globe, but on a flat earth with a abyss underneath that's bottomless, that's okay for us. So just letting you know, we have that. And Revelation 11:7, these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and the power over waters to turn them to blood, and smite the earth with all plagues, and often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. Okay, so the bottomless pit's mentioned again, okay, in Revelation. So we got to understand that. And they're coming out of the earth, okay? All right, so we have Revelation 17:8. The beast thou sawest was and not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life, the foundation of the world, and they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So just wanted to tell you guys that there's stuff going on in the earth as well that we are not aware of as Christians. We're thinking that there's a molten whatever lava inside the earth, whatever they say it is, it's a molten core and it's rotating as well and all this stuff they're trying to tell you, but biblically it doesn't match up, you know, it doesn't line up. So Job 26 verses 5-6, dead things are formed from under waters and inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before them and destruction hath no covering. Okay. We need to understand that. All right. So Philippians 2:9-11. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, or Yeshua, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he uses it again, he uses it in Revelation, he uses it in 2 Philippians. Under the earth. What is under the earth? What people are under the earth right now? You know, like, I guess some people could be in underground military bases and tunnels, but it says, he's basically saying every tongue is going to confess. People are in hell, Sheol, under the earth are going to confess. People on earth are going to confess Jesus is Lord. And people in heaven are also going to confess that Jesus is Lord. That's what he's saying right there. Does that make sense to you, Zook?
Yeah, sorry, there's noise on my end, so okay. I have to keep muting it even though I want to ask you questions.
Okay.
But yeah, it's great. I know, backtracking quite a bit, it's interesting to think that there will still be pain, even though, like, after we die, when you're in that realm, like, if it's in heaven, I'm not sure, like, but I do know, like, in hell, like, it's supposed to be the worst place. And there was I don't know what the book was, but it was where the term, that devil came into play, and that's where they'll say, like, Lucifer, the morning star, Satan, like, is one name the devil. I'm like, no, it's, they're different. And I didn't even think about that until maybe several months ago when I saw somebody explaining it. I'm like, oh, interesting. And another thing is it's wild how a lot of this stuff is just thrown right in our face. Like, Hollywood does a really good job at it. Like, I really like watching, you know, King Kong, and just, I like watching movies with a lot of destruction. And yeah, I guess it tells you a little bit of my life. And it's, you know, and then whenever Kong was going to get to the center of the earth, they use, like, those, I don't know if they were spaceships. I guess they were little spaceships, but they were, like, magnetic, and they were able to break through that little gravitational field barrier so that they can then fly around. And it's crazy because that's actually what I think, you know, the tram system that's under our feet and stuff, it works the same way. And it's just, it's wild where they were showing, like, the location to where Kong was. It was in Antarctica or something.
Was it Antarctica? Interesting.
I know it was something. Yeah. It was really cool. It was either north or south, one or the other. And I'm like, huh, that's it. I don't know. I just thought that was really interesting. Because you know, I had that thought even before I saw the movie. I didn't put a lot of thought into it, but I'm like, you know, I bet you the gravity would be way different there, if there even is gravity, if gravity is even a thing.
Yeah.
Like, because okay. I remember after talking to you, I'm like, wait a second. Have you ever had a close encounter with the unknown? Have you stumbled upon a conspiracy that's just too strange to be true? Well, now's your chance to share it with the world. Our Cryptid and Conspiracy podcast is on the hunt for the most intriguing and unexplained stories. And we want to hear from you. Submit your tale by voice message or email and join us as we delve into the mysterious world of cryptids and conspiracies. So don't keep your story to yourself. Let's explore the unexplained together. Get in touch and let's make some noise. Links in the show notes. Get ready for some monster-sized entertainment with no pesky ads. Subscribe to our Cryptid and Conspiracies podcast for just a few coins a month. And listen to all the spooky tales of the unknown creatures and conspiracies in commercial-free bliss. Get your subscription now and join the hunt for the truth today. Link in the show notes.
It's all right. It's all right. I don't know. Yeah, like I said, the Bible never mentions gravity. Gravity seems like it needs to be something to for that naturalistic thing to happen, you know, for everything to form, you know, for everything to form into a ball. You know, gravity seems to be like their god, like the little G god, basically, you know. So
it's really interesting. I'm sorry. it's very interesting too. Like, you know, and you know, we have kids and where they are, like as they grow older, it's interesting where their mind starts to go, and then they start getting understanding how emotions work, and they start to close their mind off to certain things. Cause I mean, kids can see all sorts of supernatural things growing up. And then as they get older, they find out that that's really weird. But in different cultures where they focus not just on supernatural, but more spiritual type stuff, just on, like, I don't know if Zen is a good example, but just being relaxed and having like a really good peace of mind, they're able to actually do more and actually kind of like break the laws of, I guess you can say, call it gravity. Because I mean, I don't know. Are you familiar with flitting? Yeah, it's just like where you can run, like pretty much go really fast by running and jumping, and you're almost like hovering. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, like I remember reading L.A. Marzulli's books, and wow. He watched like dudes like flint like across like at crazy speeds, and I mean they would just jump and go for like a mile. I'm probably like taking it out of context, but it's just crazy. I mean, they can like
that's
jump.
That's interesting. Yeah.
It's just interesting. So it kind of makes you think and kind of wonder like about, you know, gravity. And some people, like I had a friend who went on a mission trip, and she was in a like Haiti or Jamaica or something. And she looked up in the sky, and she isn't really like a BS or anything. Like, she's a pretty serious person. And she said, and then the locals there, they were like, yeah, that's the witch doctor. He flies to get around. So it's, yeah. it's very interesting. Cause she said he was only like maybe like 40 feet up. And I don't know. I think there's so much to think about. I know there's something else I want to say too, but totally forgot. But man,
sorry.
Keep going.
I think all that is interesting. And where as a child, where do you think heaven is located? You think it's up. Where do you think hell is located? Down. That's what you naturally think before you get indoctrinated in school. So I think that's definitely a good point you bring up. Psalms 55. Verse 15, let death seize them, let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. So, I mean, that is like telling you that you go down into hell, right? That shows you that hell is down. Luke 10, 15 through 16, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, he hath despiseth me, despiseth you, despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. So it says that you are shall be thrust down to hell. So hell is down in the earth, okay? I talked about when Jesus came back, you know, he went into the earth and he went up to heaven. So your spirit could travel through the earth when you die. You know, you go up through the firmament or you go down to hell. Right. So that's kind of my whole thing on the hell or what's in the earth. I'll show you guys that graphic again real quick so you guys can see what I'm talking about. So this is just when you're honest with the text, this is what you get. You get windows of heaven, you get a firmament, you get the moon, sun, and the stars, you get the moon and the sun moving and the earth still. You have a Sheol in the earth, which is hell being in the earth, fountains of the our foundations of the earth, and then fountains of the great deep, which is the Abuso. This is where the fallen angels would be locked in the great deep. You have the sky, which we see, clouds, you have the waters above the firmament, and then God's throne. Okay, so I think it's interesting, but I think the main thing that we need to understand is how to not go to hell, right? That's important. If we're going to do a presentation on where hell is located, I think we need to understand the good news is that, you know, God doesn't want you to go to hell. God gives you options, right? So 1 John 15, verses 13 through 14 says, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye may have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God, that is confidence which you have in him, that he have asked according to his will, he hears us, okay? So we need to understand that we're saved, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we need to understand that. So, okay, we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and in God, right? Through faith, and that it is not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. Is that the grace is a gift from God, right? And it's also a gift from God for him to send his only begotten son to die for him, for us, right? That is so important. And also in James, it says, we need to understand what James says as well, so that we know that obedience is important as well. We want to be obedient to God's word. We want to be obedient to God, okay? We're not saved by obedience, but we need to, it's like a byproduct of having faith, right? It says James 2 verses 17 through 24. We'll be wrapping up here, bro, probably about 10:20 my time, which will be like about 10 minutes. Just letting you know, because I know it's probably late for you. It's probably 11:09 right now, and I don't want to hold you up too late, dude. So I'll go ahead and read this real quick. James 2 verses 17 through 24. Even so, faith, if it hath faith not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, but I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, the faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith worked with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto righteousness, that he be called a friend of God. All right, so we want to be friends with God. We want to know God. We want, when Jesus says that, you know, when you come up to heaven, you don't want him to say, I never knew you, right? We don't want to have that. That's just send chills up your spine. So we want to make sure we stay out of hell, okay? We need to understand John verses 3, 13 through 21. We'll read this real quick too. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man has been lifted, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So we want you guys to know that you could be saved. We want to lead you to God. That's what the whole point of any podcast should be, is leading people to God. So just wanted to read those verses off to let you guys know that, you know, you don't want to go to hell, okay? Jesus is the Alpha Omega in Revelations 1:8. God is the Alpha Omega. If you start digging really deep, you'll learn about the Trinity and all these different things. I think it gets really interesting. But anyway, so I just wanted to say that. I kind of went over that there's three heavens, you know, and all that already. And I think that should be a wrap, bro. I kind of went over everything I wanted to go over. Any questions for me, Zook, on anything I went over?
No, I did remember something else I was wanting to bring up earlier, but it was when this goes into the conspiracy of Hitler and then wanting him to see, were they like monks or something? And then they would go to Sheol, or that they knew how to get there.
Okay. So I could kind of get a little into the hollow earth type thing. So like Admiral Byrd, he wrote a journal, they said, you know, but we got to understand Admiral Byrd, he became a master mason in 1921. We got to understand that. His brother was a U.S. Senator, Henry Byrd, from a Democratic Party. He helped push the Antarctic Treaty. So he was also, his brother was a Freemason as well. So Admiral Byrd was a Mason. But what, you know, Hitler was all about hollow earth. Like they wanted to go into the earth. I think the reason why he wanted to go in the earth is because he wanted to go into hell. But they were all obsessed with that, bro. Yeah, I know. And in the Admiral Byrd diary, he actually talks about going into the earth, basically in Antarctica, and seeing ascended masters, which is all New Age, saying that he saw UFOs basically with Nazi signs on it. And, you know, it's a whole bunch of stuff that gets interesting. But what I think is interesting is when Admiral Byrd went to Antarctica, right after that, they made the Antarctic Treaty so nobody else can go there, freely explore or anything like that. And that happened in 1956 to 1958. It was called Operation High Jump. And then there was also Operation Deep Freeze. And what's interesting is they had the Antarctic Treaty, And then in the 1958 encyclopedia, it talks about them finding a dome in Antarctica, which is 13,487 feet high, is where they found it, like on that elevation. But then the next year, 1959, it gets taken out. And then they make the Antarctic Treaty. Then in 1962, they do Operation Dominique, which is what I talked about in the last show, where they shot nukes into the sky and they blew up. They're trying to blow up the firmament. It's like the Thor's missile trying to blow up the fixed shell. Our Operation Fishbowl, you know that Fishbowl has a hole and there's a dome and then there's land. So we need to understand that all these different events start happening from 1958 on, and then NASA's formed, and then, you know, Wernher von Braun's getting with Disney and getting with the guy that everybody says filmed the moon landing. I can't remember his name. Stanley Kubrick, and all these people are getting together, all these master masons. And you know what I mean? It became a wrap. NASA came into the picture. They talked about going to the moon, and Russia supposedly went to space, and then they supposedly went to the moon. And if you guys look into the moon landing, it gets crazy. But yeah, so there was a journal out there talking about him maybe going into the Earth. But if you understand the message there, I think instead of them going like finding a hollow Earth, what I believe is they found the dome, and they're trying to veer you off away from flat Earth and put you into hollow Earth, that in our Antarctica you could go into the Earth and all this stuff. So yeah, I think it's interesting. But anyways, yeah, anything else you could think of before we end, because I don't want to end on any, just in case you had any more questions.
Oh no, you're good. I know I can just keep talking about that stuff, because I heard about the story of Admiral Byrd and understood just doing a whole lot of research and stuff like that, and the people we've chatted with who know quite a bit about just like portals, just like the basics. Mm-hmm. And it's like just our DNA is like, we'll die if we go through a portal. And
yeah.
And all stuff. So that's why I believe, like, I don't know if it was, yeah, like out of, cause I know at least in the Book of Enoch version that I have, it does mention portals. Now it's, I don't know how many times, and I don't exactly know the context of how the portal is used, but I know that there are multiple openings in the Earth. Now, I don't know if that means like a different kind of like an elemental layer or something.
We'd have to find out what portals mean in the Hebrew, you know?
Yeah.
We'd have to find out what that means, you know? Or, you know, I don't know what the Book of Enoch, when it was actually written, mm-hmm. you know? But we'd have to find out what portals mean. Portals to us is like a Stargate, you know, where you could walk through and go into a different dimension. Portals to the Hebrews might be something different. We don't know. We'd have to find out what that is. That's what I've been finding out lately. When I'm teaching flat Earth and I'm teaching these things, I need to make sure I'm teaching it correctly. First of all, mm-hmm. I don't want to teach anything wrong. When people are saying that, you know, the firmament is space, and where the moon, sun, the stars are located, it's an expanse of space. I need to make sure that I'm teaching, you know, it correctly. I don't want to be teaching anything wrong. But when you start finding out what these words mean, go back to the Greek, go back to the Hebrew, and then finding out, then you'll see like, oh, well, portals actually means this. But yeah, it's interesting, man. I want to check that out as well, you know, like in the book in Enoch, and find out what portals means. And I don't really see portals in the Bible, you know, so I wonder what he's speaking about there. I think that's interesting. But I know there's a lot of people that can go into deep research on the Book of Enoch and probably could answer our question there.
You know, that's whatever gets into like the Nephilim and stuff like that, like Genesis 6, when they came down and they just shared the sacred sciences, which is like the technology and stuff. And I'm like, man, it gets too deep. We're going over that stuff in my Bible study. So I'm like, I don't want to not so much weird people out, but I'm like, I kind of, they need to focus on the majors and minor on the minors. And so I'm like, I want us to just focus just on the easy part.
I know what I've heard. When I'm in a Bible study, people are going to go, what is going on? Like, you know, like, because I have so many, but it's like, you know, like my people in my church are finally starting to wake up, you know, and realize what's going on and what they're hiding and all that. And I love it. You know, I'm trying to get my pastor on board with the biblical earth, biblical cosmology, you know, and I'm trying to show him what's going on. I don't know if he's fully there yet, but it takes time. But it's important. I know people say it's not important, but cosmology is what God decided to open the Bible up with, and Jesus was involved in it. It's very important. It's the reason why we have something to walk on, food to eat. You know, the Book of Genesis had the first Adam and Eve, the first people. It had taxonomy. It has biology. It has cosmology, all these different sciences in it. And, you know, it has the first sin. It tells you like the first, you know, when the Messiah was mentioned in Genesis 3:15, and all these different things happen in Genesis. That's amazing. And it's just, the Bible is such a beautiful thing, man, and God's word and getting to know God. And as you read the Hebrew and you go back to and you start finding out what all these words mean, it comes alive, you know? And I think that's the most important thing for people to understand. But thank you, dude, for having me, bro. I had a good time with you, and I'm sorry that information dump. I always have so much, it's like a fire hose. I just spit.
No, dude, I'm excited, man, because it'll give me some, well, I'm not going to sleep now, but so much to think about. No,
me neither.
I know, me neither. Yeah, we'll definitely do it again.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I always have new subjects I study, and I've done a lot of biblical cosmology episodes on a lot of different shows. People have been asking me to do that, but I also have like what's in the earth. I could do a good Genesis 6 Nephilim episode if you ever want to do that. I don't know if you guys have had one strictly on that, but we could go over that. The flood, Tower of Babel. There's a lot of stuff we can go over, you know.
Okay, that stuff's fun. Yeah, we had Gary Wayne. We're going to have him on again this month, actually, covering his Genesis 6 version 2.
Yeah, yeah, he gets into it. I'll have him on, too, actually, on March 8th. He's going to go over the Trilateral Commission, CFR, and the Club of Rome and find out what's up with those guys.
So oh, what, man, I am out of the loop. I'm like, I don't know. That's a foreign language to me. So I'm like... I can't wait to listen to your episode.
It's okay. Yeah, he's going to go over all that. Those are like all the think tanks that the government has and stuff.
Oh,
it's really cool. But everybody that's listening, thank you so much for listening. Give these guys a 5-star review. Share their podcast because, you know, it's kind of hard, man. He's up right now. It's 11:20 at night. Right now it's like it's 10:20 for me. I do shows at 5 o'clock in the morning. I've been doing a bunch of shows. Zook, you know, he knows how it is, man. He's got kids. So we're trying to do our best, you know. So if you could please share their podcast with as many people as you could share it with, and that way, you know, they get more listens and more people get woken up, you know, to the Bible and start loving God, man. If you guys could do that as listeners, they'll really, you know, be good for their podcast.
Man, you're going to make me blush. But yeah, Josh as well, guys, go check out his stuff. I mean, it's not about like numbers for us. We just put the podcast together when we can, but he has a lot of really good episodes and you should check them out. He's on, and we're going to link his stuff. And if there are any first-time listeners to listening to this podcast for Josh, where can they find you?
Oh, just go to, if you want to go to the YouTube, it's Josh Monday Music and Podcasts for YouTube. Because I'm a rap artist. I haven't been doing any new music at all. I've just been concentrating on the podcast. I think it's saving more souls. It's affecting more people. But I also on the audio, it's Josh Monday Christian and Conspiracy Podcast. So if you want to look it up on there, you could find it. And we have 166 episodes now. And I put out one or two episodes a week. And I have debates on biblical cosmology. I've had a couple of debates lately. And you guys could see what happens when you're so indwelled in the science or the heliocentricity compared to someone that just comes with the Bible. And I'm debating Christians. So you guys could check those out. People love those so far because...
I look good.
It points out basically how much somebody depends on science that's a Christian compared to how much somebody depends on the word of God, you know. So if you guys could check that out, I appreciate it. And like I said, if you want to leave me a 5-star review too, I'd appreciate that. But you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, you guys know that the way that you get more people listening to him is by sharing it, and the more people listening to the show is by giving them the 5-star review. But thank you guys so much for listening to us, and we love you guys, man. You know, anybody that's listening, we love you. Oh, yeah, sorry. Instagram, too. If you want to look at my Instagram, it's JoshMonday_podcast, and then I also have, like, a TikTok I just started. It's barely got anything on it.
Nice.
JoshMonday_podcast. I'm very slow at posting because I don't have time for all that, but, you know, but you can check out, you know, follow me on Instagram. If you have any prayer requests or any questions about biblical cosmology, I will answer anything you have. If I don't know it, I'll find it.
He really doesn't mean that, guys. He has a ton of knowledge and he loves research. So God gave him that skill and ability. But yeah, without further ado, I'll end it there. And as usual, he's our veteran in this, not just an army vet, but like we've had him on the most. He's been with us hanging out. So I have all of his stuff and I'll link it in the show notes.
Thank you. Working on me and
I want you to see that I'm alrighty, everybody. Till next time. See ya. You showed me the curse. I be the one to break it. I swear you can keep all the nonsense. See, that man I never had time for. You see, in a world full of darkness, do not be alarmed if I shine more. To live in the light, that's what I'm for. Y'all hold it down till we find more. I might throw a concert in heaven. Yeah, that'd be a ticket to die for. Everybody waiting in line for, singing me rhyme for. People with joy to be happy. You see how we making it, living and pacing and know that we doing it at it. And what are you thinking? Ain't nobody sinking. I know you see God as my captain. And he gon' pick up when I'm lacking. I promise it's bigger than rapping. I promise it's bigger than rapping. Still put the mic in the heater. I'm sick with a fever and I ain't even up in no cabin. I can't be put in the box. So no, you won't see me. Well, that's if you're tracking the package. Step in a land full of demons and still be at peace when you see when I'm wreaking some havoc. Hold up. Think they peeped the style now. Be like this for a while now. Won't find me in no pile now. You cannot turn this down now. And I say, back on, sit back and watch me. Sit back and watch me move. I sit back and watch me move. Sit back and watch me move. I sit back and watch me move. Yeah, we're gonna keep all that. Yeah. Wait, let D move. My style can't be reused. I can't be afraid of me twos. Look, I step anywhere like free shoes. God got me so you won't see D lose. I've been this way since preschool. Look this way, that way don't seem cool. And I still got more sauce than G Hughes. Good Lord. I'm back with some help. I'm building my stock. I'm backing myself. Trust me, the team isn't lacking no depth. I'm walking with God. I'm tracking my steps. Mama just bought me a brand new cross. The Lord is my GPS when I'm lost. He throw me a blessing, I catch it like moss. My soul can never be bought. I don't think I need a mentor. I need to vent more. I already know what I'm in for. Why do you think I got him for? I wanna win more without the reason to sin more. Get what I'm saying like 10-4. This is a pin roll. Yeah, my flow sweeter than Lindor. Spirit ain't never been piss poor. Tears a big joy. Putting more sweat than a gym floor. Look, don't be scared of depression. Just soak it all in like water and leaves. Instead of neglecting the messages, look in the mirror. Say, Lord, I believe. Yeah, it's a lot that I am, but I think they didn't like when they calling them D. I had a calling, so I had to answer when I seen that call ID. Hello. Yes, Lord, I surrender it all to you. I can get him involved with you. But first, I'm passing the ball to you. I'm giving all of my flaws to you. I'm only answering calls from you. I get back up when I fall to you. You ask if I know what to take, I do. Winning this race, we don't need no pit stop. And I do think that we can save this thing that we call hip-hop. Anybody don't like it, I really get excited if I take down a big shot. It's D, man. Yeah. I can't explain the feeling, I just know. You go through it to get through it. Yeah. Oh, we gonna be okay. It's gonna always be alright. Yeah. Light rap.